Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we are turning our attention to really a cool topic, I think. Flax. You know anything about flax? We can grow flax really well here in Wisconsin, I think. And you know what flax, what linen turns into? Well, it's flax can turn into linen. Let's put it that way. And we're going to talk about growing flax and producing linen with a couple of guests. One of them, Jessica Becker, in the studio with us. She's the Interim Director of Communications for the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. And, important for this show, she manages the outreach and communications for Midwest Linen Revival. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you with us. And also with us is Leslie Schrader. She is the founder of Midwest Linen Revival. And yeah, Leslie, you got a big job too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Larry. And I want to say happy Juneteenth to you and all of your listeners.
As well. Thank you very much. Let us know as we talk with our two guests what you'd like to see in terms of, this is a textile we're talking about here, textile production in Wisconsin. How much do you think about maybe where your clothes come from or who makes them or who makes your bed sheets? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Jessica, what's the Midwest Linen Revival?
Well, thanks for asking. We are working together. Leslie founded Midwest Linen Revival, yeah. And we're working together right now to produce Field to Frock, which is a series of events to bring people into the conversation about, yeah, what is happening in the Midwest with linen and textiles. The revival word is actually interesting because it's bringing back our connection with our textiles and reviving that agricultural possibility for growing fiber that can be used for clothing here in the Midwest.
You know, that goes, the whole concept of linen itself goes way, way back. Doesn't it?
Right. Tens of thousands of years, actually, people have been growing this plant and using the fiber for it. And as you said in your introduction, you know, flax becomes linen. People right now are more familiar with flax as the seed, which is also super good for you. Yeah. And it's the same plant. But here we're talking about a different strain for the stem and where the fiber is coming from.
So you can't get a good seed out of the... You need a certain type of flax to make really good linen.
Yeah, everybody wants to know about dual crop opportunities. And, you know, it could do both, but neither well. So you can have, you know, your oilseed varieties that are creating a lot of stem and use that. The oilseed varieties creating a lot of heavy seed set. And mm-hmm. From that, you can, of course, eat it. You can press it for oil. There's all kinds of other product opportunities there. But the stem of those oilseed varieties are shorter. And then when they're harvested that later, they're a little stiffer. So there's secondary textile opportunities there. But when we're talking about garments, then it is a different strain of the same flax plant, but with a longer stem and harvested earlier.
Okay, makes sense. Mary Kay in Kenosha with us has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, I'd like to talk about textiles. We need to grow cotton because cotton is the most comfortable fabric. We can use wool, paper. I got a beautiful hat made out of paper. You'd never know it. It looks like lace. Hemp, reeds for shoes. We can have recycling, recycleries, where you can recycle old clothes and turn them into other fabrics, like clothing, shoes.
Yeah, that was, well,
so, yeah, Mary Kay, yeah,
go ahead, Leslie.
You got a pretty good list there, but you did not have flax on your list. And that is a plant that grows really well in Wisconsin's climate. When you said we need to be growing cotton, so we cannot grow cotton in the northern parts of the state. So I do know somebody who grew some cotton in a in a greenhouse. But right now, it's actually a better crop for southern United States. I mean, we can wait for our climate change future and maybe be growing cotton here. But right now, let's not hope for that. Flax is actually really well suited for the Midwest.
And linen itself, I mean, I guess linen doesn't have to take a backseat to cotton. I mean, linen has some advantage. I mean, there are probably advantages and disadvantages. Might as well talk about those.
Sure. Actually, cotton requires a lot more inputs and pesticides and support from the processing of it, uses a lot of water. So the flax plant is also, you know, there's a fair number of steps and it's labor intensive to process. But the ultimate product in a linen garment is incredibly durable. So it's something that can actually service you for a really long time and soften with age.
And isn't it a fabric or a textile that, we're going to have tomorrow or so, we're going to have some pretty warm temperatures here. And my recollection is that linen was very good for wearing in hot and humid conditions.
That's exactly right. It's a temperature moderating type of fabric. People have often used it historically as an underlayer to their scratchy wool garments. So it's actually the word linen cognate with the word lining and lingerie. So as an undergarment was people used a lot, but also as, you think of those, hot summer days, linen can serve you really well.
Let's talk about, what does a flax plant look like? Somebody wants to know that already. Does it look like oats or does it, you want to talk about that, Jessica?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful plant. In fact, I was just looking at some growing in a pot in Leslie's backyard. And so it's a tall green stem that grows really densely together, which is part of the advantage in that you don't need a lot of pesticides because it grows really densely together.
And keeps the weeds out by itself.
Yeah. And has a beautiful flower. So some people are starting to grow it for bouquets even. It has a really pretty kind of cornflower blue flower. And it doesn't need to be pollinated by bees, but it does attract pollinators.
So that's pretty cool. I do like the flower, too. That's a pretty blue flower. Grace in New Glarus has something. Let's go there. Hi, Grace.
Hi. Glad to hear this topic, and I wish I could participate in all of the events this weekend. It would be tons of fun. Another fiber, and one that is native to North America, is milkweed. Milkweed has absolutely amazing fibers. California Indians used milkweed to make nets up to something like 3 miles long for catching rabbits. And some of the remains of some of those nets are in museums, and they are literally hundreds of years old. And they're still, if they're not exposed to the elements, they stay strong for a very, 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 very long time.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Grace. So milkweed and also dogbane and even the linden tree and the nettles are all bast fibers, just like flax and just like hemp, which means all of them, the fiber is coming from the stem of the plant. And one of them, the stinging nettle, is also, tasty edible. But we're having the film, the nettle dress, which is one of the elements of our Field to Frock festival. And that's somebody that spent years, it's a documentary, harvesting the nettle plant and then hand processing it and spinning it, weaving it, and makes a garment.
Maybe we need a little more information about the events itself, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Leslie Schrader and Jessica Becker, our guests today. Jessica is the outreach and communications person for Midwest Linen Revival, and Leslie is the founder of Midwest Linen Revival. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at linen today on the show, growing flax and weaving linen in Wisconsin. There's some efforts by some people, and especially Leslie Schrader and Jessica Becker, to get this going a bit here in our state and in the Midwest in general. Leslie's the founder of Midwest Linen Revival, and Jessica manages outreach and communications for Midwest Linen Revival. And again, you can join in too. Number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.com. flaxturnsinto.org. You know, the reason for this revival, I think, in some is to kind of develop stronger interest among farmers, I suppose, in part.
Yeah, if I could for a moment, Larry, tell you a sad story about the current state of our textile industry, which is very heavily environmentally consumptive, and it's mostly because of the synthetics in our garments. So it's very extractive petroleum-based products. It's our polyesters and our nylons. And then as we're wearing them, little bits of microplastics are breaking off into our water as we're laundering them. So 30% of microplastics in water right now are coming from our clothes. And then, of course, end game, that synthetic garment just sits in a landfill. We see really ugly pictures of them like washing up in the oceans, right? So we have this really big problem from, you know, the whole life cycle of our current garments. So it's not just about, you know, the flax being an amazing opportunity for diversifying our agricultural economy with a relatively easily sustainably grown crop that works well in a lot of different small grain rotations. It's because we have such a big problem with our current textile industry. And then what we're talking about when we talk about like slow clothes and bringing that home to, you know, the more hand-spun, really textile experiences is just, it's a touch point, it's a connection point for starting to think about our garments and who grew your clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about, I don't want to leave without talking about this event in more, these events in more detail, Jessica. So fill us in on what people are going to be able to see and so forth.
All right. Well, starting tomorrow, for those of us in the Madison area, we have a series that we hope kind of offers a bunch of ways to enter into this conversation. And so, you know, whether you're a maker, a DIY person, an artist, a textile enthusiast, or an agriculturist, a small farmer, or a local foodie, or a fashionista, someone who just is interested in building community. We have a series of events that starts tomorrow on campus, actually, at the Allen Centennial Gardens, the opportunity to see natural dyeing and plants that they've been growing there and how that's done. And then we have a special behind-the-scenes textile tour at in the Helen Louise Allen Collection on campus. There's two tours. And then on Saturday, we have a really wonderful chance to get out into the field and see this flax growing. And we'll have someone there from the Low-Tech Institute, as well as Leslie and others, tabling with a lot of information and demonstrating how the small-scale processing can happen if you were to grow some flax in your own backyard and you wanted to spin it. So that processing will be demonstrated. But it's also just a fun way to get out in the field.
Can I throw in a couple other folks that are present there? Is also tabling is partners like the Textile Arts Center and Fibershed Heartland and folks from the UW Extension and Madison Weavers Guild. So there's a lot of good conversations that are going to be happening that Saturday morning.
That's from 10 to 2, and it's at Troy Gardens. And all of these events are free, I should mention. And we then, in the afternoon on Saturday, have two back-to-back events in the Aubergine space across from Willie Street Co-op on Williamson Street. And those are really the chance to see some really expert spinners use flax, and even you can try it. We've got three spinners coming, and then we've got a mending workshop. Leslie, what are the names of the spinners? You want to do a shout-out to those?
Yeah, so we've got B from Babe's Fiber Garden. We've got Evie from Jillian Evie. She's put out a lot of YouTube videos in the how-to world of handmade textiles. And then we have Emily with the Madison Weavers Guild, all super deeply knowledgeable spinners there to show us that magical moment of when it goes from flax to linen.
And the website, what's the website that people can go to just to learn more on?
Yeah, so you can learn a lot more about all of this stuff at MidwestLinenRevival.org, and you'll find the full schedule for Field to Frock. And I'll just mention the last two things on Sunday. We've got a happy hour fashion show at the High Noon Saloon. This is a free event. Doors open at 4, and we want to show off how fabulous linen looks on all sorts of people and bodies, all ages. And we've got a great collection of vintage and new linen from some of the shops around town. So I'll mention Still Goods and the Good Style Shop, as well as the maker, Emily Pop, who makes clothing from old linen textiles. And then the final event we've already mentioned is the Nettle Dress. It's a documentary, and it's screening at the Art and Lit Lab at 7 p.m. So we've had some amazing partnerships to make this possible. And we have funding from Dane Arts, from the Willie Street Co-op, and from Wisconsin Farmers Union that we're really grateful for.
Yeah, Midwest Linen Revival. And Maya in Clintonville has a comment, I think, that relates to all this. Let's go there. Hi, Maya.
Hi. Hi, my name is Maya. I was just calling in because I think it is so amazing to hear people locally talking about having resources like clothing that are actually from somewhere that you know of. I know that I have young children, and when I go to the store and I buy things, I always look at, like, where was this made? It's always in other countries, but I do really love it when I go to a local shop and I buy something that says this was made in the U.S. But to have something made, like, locally in Wisconsin is even more amazing. It's just really great to see all of these people realizing how valuable it is for us to get things locally. And it does contribute so much to our communities when organizations work together to make that happen.
Yeah. Maya, thank you so much for calling. Leslie, a comment?
Yeah, Maya, thank you for your enthusiasm. And that's what we need, people looking at the labels of their clothes and thinking about them. And, yeah, that it's something that's an element of our regional economy and agriculture.
And you've been working, Leslie, with farmers in southern Wisconsin to help them to grow flax. Tell us more about that part of your work.
Right. So right now we're growing at a really small artisanal hand scale because we do not have the processing equipment that could handle it at a larger scale. So there's all kinds of elements that need to be brought up almost simultaneously. And that is seed supply, and that is farmer knowledge, and also that processing equipment. So every one of those we're scooting forward a little bit at a time.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a chicken and egg sort of thing.
Maya's comment reminds me of that because, of course, we need people saying, hey, we want this, in order for there to be the interest in growing the flax and in building the infrastructure. And so it's important to have all those things moving forward. People paying attention, as they have started to so much recently with the local foods movement, paying attention to where your food comes from and where your clothes come from.
Yeah. Jeff and Barry Mills calls couldn't stay with us, wondering if you've heard of using linen cloth to store vegetables.
I don't see why not. That would be really interesting to learn more if there's something about just the breathability or.
Yeah, I don't know either. So, that's what we could think about or look into. Jeff probably may have some knowledge of that. Grant emailed. He's an avid bread baker, uses flaxseed couche to help bread dough in a chosen shape as the dough ferments. Is there a best way to take care for a couche?
I don't know about that, but I do want to say that flaxseed is really good for you. So that plant is offering us a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Well, how much would we need to get a plant of some sort that could develop?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that one thing is siting some of the processing facilities on a rail line so that it can be pulling from, you know, a larger region. There is equipment that when I toured Normandy in France, where most of the world's linen is coming from, their big giant scutching facilities are by this manufacturer, Deporte. And they're kind of like the single one that you want to that processing facility is the gold standard. Right. There's other smaller scale ones that people are working on, and that is what I'm interested in right now, is just sort of doing more proof of concept, stepping into it. And so I am looking to connect with folks who are interested in that kind of like tinkering level as we work our way into scaling up.
Laura in Manitowoc has something that may relate to what you were just talking about. Laura, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to be one of the voices that calls in and says, first of all, I want this. But I'm not make any of the events this weekend. So what's the best way for me to really, you know, learn about this? And I mean, obviously I can go to the website, but if I want to connect with people that are doing this and learn about weaving and learn about how to get the flax to weave and all of that, what's the best way to do that after this weekend, after this event?
Yeah, so there's two organizations that I'd like to direct you to. One is called Fibershed, and they have many regional affiliates. So I know that there's one in your area that you can connect with, and they're doing things like, you know, processing demonstrations, and they're doing, you know, all of the wonderful meetups and the learnings around textiles that I think you're going to be interested in. It's called Fibershed. So there's Fibershed affiliates literally around the world now. And then the other one is the North American Linen Association. And that is, you know, the group of us who are all in the smitten with linen. I think I'm member number two in the North American Linen Association. Now they're something up over 100. So this is, you know, a number of folks all thinking the same way. And there's a lot of energy being built around it now.
And how would you contact that group?
Online. Yeah. So North American Linen Association and Fibershed. Those are two different organizations.
Those are the two. Okay, Laura, there you go. Thank you. Sullivan in Green Bay, your turn. Hi.
Hi. So, one question. Have you and your guests reached out to any reenactment groups and how they have been using linen or if they've been growing linen or flax?
Yep. Actually, the very first time that I ever saw flax being processed was at Old World, Wisconsin, which is over in Waukesha County. And there is... There's a couple of other organizations. I said Low Tech Institute, they've been growing flax. And there are other, exactly what you're saying, reenactment groups. There was a group in UW-Green Bay that has done some exploration because I think they were going to try to build a Viking sailcloth. But yeah, thank you. Absolutely. That is, I think of them as torchbearers. I think it's an incredibly important thing that just sort of laid low for a long time that people didn't lose that knowledge entirely.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And there's a whole process to this. I mean, this whole turning flax into linen. I mean, you harvest, you got redding, you got drying.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what you do is you just hire this guy named Rumpelstiltskin, and he's the one that makes that flax into gold. I don't know. you harvest it by pulling the plant up, and the first step is this wonderful word retting, which is a slight decomposition of the plant, where the stiff inner part that's called the shive is starting to get separated from the fibers. So that's called retting, and that's one of the most important pieces to assess, to like carefully learn about, because if it doesn't go far enough, it won't process well. If it goes too far, it just damages the fiber. And then all sorts of other wonderful words. It goes through the ripple, it goes through the break, the scutch, and the hackle. And each one of those are steps of cleaning the fiber. And once you've got clean fiber, it's called a sliver. And then the sliver is spun on a distaff.
And it's a pretty cool words. It's a pretty cool process. And actually, we Wisconsin Life did a nice little piece that anybody can go to our Wisconsin Life and get some photos of you know, and so forth, a description of it.
Yeah, that was really wonderful. Maureen actually tried her hand
McCallum
at it.
Maureen McCallum does a really good job of that.
Yeah, she was there using all the old tools and, learning the process firsthand. It was pretty fun.
Listener emailed us with a note that there's an event planned for August 2nd in Athens, Wisconsin, to highlight linen weaving and harvesting. It will be at the Red Door Family Farm from 10 to 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. And I'll be there.
It's hosted by Northern Pines Fibershed and Marathon County Farmers Union.
Wonderful. Yep, that is one of the fibersheds that is, as I mentioned earlier.
Where can you buy locally made textiles and clothing?
So right now we have a fairly small but functioning woolen economy. That I would follow up with some of the wool mills around here, like Utopia and Brown Barn and Blackberry Ridge. Those are places that you can buy yarn. The Madison Weavers Guild, sometimes their members are, that's another source that I would connect with for people that are doing handmade textiles. Another is the Driftless Tannery. They're doing hair on sheep hides and coming up with some really wonderful products.
So have you ever made any yourself?
I've made lots of things by hand, but never 100% from my own linen. I've actually not yet. Not yet.
And you gave me, you gave me a strand here.
Mostly I wanted to impress you with the fact that that fiber is really long. That's what makes it really unique. So I've handed Larry a little bit of a cleaned flax fiber that that I grew. And so will you tell us about it?
It feels like horsehair.
It's a little bit, it hasn't been quite softened enough, but it's golden, you know. It's where the name of flaxen-haired girl comes from is that color. Mm-hmm.
Well, and here we are out of time, which it really flew, didn't it? We'll have to have you back and talk some more. I'd love to hear your progress on this.
Well, thank you.
Over time. I think it's going to be fun to follow, and let's hope we get a vibrant industry going here in the state.
Yeah, we guarantee it. It feels like the right place, right time.
Leslie Schrader is the founder of Midwest Linen Revival. Jessica Becker is the interim director of communication for the Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters and manages outreach and communication for Midwest Linen Revival. Well, it's great to have them with us. And next up, we revisit a conversation we had about clean, allergy-friendly design, and we'll hear from our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, heading that up next. And it's pre-recorded. I'll mention that as well. Thank you for listening, and stay with us.